Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Guaranteed Growth with Christine Comonfort. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Amanda Buckle.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. My name is Amanda Buckles, and I am the Regional Education Manager for the Americas. I'd like to welcome you to today's call, Guaranteed Growth with Christine Comonfort. Today's call will be recorded and available on the on-demand site on the exchange following today's program. This program will also be followed by a short Q&A session. And now I will turn the call over to Rolando Gadala Maria to introduce Christine.
Thank you so much, Amanda. Welcome, everyone, to our global conference call today. I would like to start by thanking Christine Comonfort for her willingness to participate in this call, where she will share her deep knowledge on neuroscience and leadership. A few months ago, during the GLC summit in Istanbul, Christine fascinated a standing room-only crowd where we actually had to turn quite a few hours away, since the 400-person room that we had planned for the event was packed beyond capacity with 700 people inside. So it was a challenge, but we had a lot of fun during that event. Since then, Christine has visited more than 30 YPO chapters, getting excellent reviews. And it's not just YPOers that like Christine Comonfort. Bill Gates calls her super high bandwidth. Bill Clinton has thanked her for fostering American entrepreneurship. For over 30 years, CEO coach Christine Comonfort has helped companies navigate growth and change. She's known for proven strategies to optimize executive performance, powerfully enroll an aligned team, and rapidly increase sales and company value, all leveraging neuroscience. So please join me in welcoming Christine. Over to you, Christine.
Thank you so much, Rolando. Thank you, Rolando. Thank you, Amanda, for making this all happen today. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for your commitment to growth and your commitment to leadership. Now, often we think that if we can just get the right people, if we can just get the right market position, if we can just get the right products and services, then we'll get the growth that we want. We think that the answer is outside of us. Yet actually, most leaders aren't optimizing the people that they already have. If we just follow the four-step formula that I will step through with you today, then we'll get that consistent, reliable growth that we want. We'll get those passionate, engaged teams that we want. We'll have a lot more fun and a lot less stress. So as you look at this stair-step chart right here, please type into the chat box, what revenue inflection point are you at? Are you at 25 million going to 50? Are you at 100 going to 250? And what is your greatest business growth challenge? See, we all want to keep revenue growing. We all want to have a predictable pace of revenue growth. We all want ever-expanding profits. Yet all too often, what we get is this. We reach a certain revenue inflection point where our company is almost a whole new company, and either we navigate to and through, or we get stuck at that revenue inflection point, or worst case, we actually start to spiral downward. So many companies that we meet are stuck between 25 and 50, 50 and 100 million, 100 and 250, 250 and 500, and they can't quite get through. What is the answer? There's actually a formula to building a company. Now, it's taken me 30 years to figure this out, but there are aspects of people. I'll use my highlighter. There's the people stuff. There's the money things you have to master. And then there are the model aspects of growing a business. If we want to get to 100, we need to do everything before that to ensure that we can get there. So now, if we have a new company at every revenue inflection point, and we have new issues, new to-do items at the people, money, and model levels, how do we actually get those things done and keep moving? let's get started on this. As Rolando mentioned, I've been building companies for 30 years. I'm a CEO coach based on neuroscience techniques. What I find is that using these techniques in the five companies that I built up from scratch and sold or took public myself, these techniques are remarkably effective, they are fast, and they make a huge difference for your people. See, because as leaders, often we're always looking outside for the answer. And yet, when we look at the company that we have, when we look at the challenges that we have, if we just look in the mirror and we realize, yikes, I created some of those situations, we can then use the tools today to turn this around. So, growth is surprisingly formulaic, and we have a template to ensure it. We have the best ways to get people deeply loyal and engaged, which I'll talk about briefly, and we want to be optimizing our profits while we consistently grow. So on the techniques I'll teach you today, if you apply these techniques, these are the benefits that you can get. Much more productive people, much more emotional engagement, greater sales, and much greater growth in revenue and profit. So let's first talk, though, about your fabulous brain, because the brain is behind everything. Those of you who saw me at GLC, those of you who have had me visit your chapters, this is going to be a quick review on the brain. Everything else today is new. All right, so there are three parts of your brain. Reptilian brain. This is a stimulus response machine coded for safety. Now, when you think of the brain and you think of what's happening in your company, stay with me because this is where it gets really fascinating. The reptilian brain is responsible for temperature regulation, breathing, balance. It's just coded to make sure that you are physically safe in the world. No concept of quality of life. Next, mammalian brain. This is your emotional center. This is where we have the fight, flight, freeze response. This is also where we have happiness, love, passion. Now, the mammalian brain is also a stimulus response machine coded for safety, safe or not, friend or foe. The mammalian brain also doesn't understand discrimination and quality of life. The neocortex, most evolved in human beings. The neocortex, and my favorite part, the prefrontal cortex. This is where we have what are called our executive functions. This is where we have innovation, collaboration, social skills, tool making, the ability to look at where we are now, where we want to get to, and to figure out the strategies and planning to get us there. When a company is going through rapid growth, this is often what happens. We get stuck in what's called our critter, like animal, our critter state. The critter state is when we have a hijack and we can't get beyond the reptilian mammalian brain. It is those two working together. You'll notice we have no access to the prefrontal cortex, the neocortex. We are simply in survival mode. We are in fight, flight, freeze. When our companies are going through rapid growth, changing directives, our teams can sometimes get stuck here. What we want is to use the techniques today to guide our people into what we call the smart state. The smart state is where we have all three parts of the brain working together. So if we get an angry email from somebody, we just say, oh, George is having a bad day, and we move on. We have that discrimination. We have that mental clarity because we are in our prefrontal cortex while we also can feel all those emotions but not get hijacked by them. The more people that we have in their smart state, the more we have what's called a smart tribe. When we have a smart tribe in our company, this is where we get the ROI numbers I showed you before. So let's dive in and let's talk about the four tools, the four M's that will help you get this level of performance, this level of guaranteed growth consistently. All right, the first one, motivation. Now, here's the thing about motivation. Often we create structures for extrinsic motivation. It's extrinsic motivation is where we have the carrot or the stick, is where we have motivation external to a person. That will only take you so far. what we want is intrinsic motivation, is when the person is deeply emotionally engaged, wants to move forward, and is having insights. So our job as leaders is to create insights for our people. Let's look at an example. One of our favorite neuroscience tools is called the outcome frame. The outcome frame is awesome because it takes just a few questions for us to figure out what a person truly wants, what they're going to benefit from having that, and how they're going to know the proof when they're going to have it. Quick example, three different YPO clients of ours. Tom. In coaching, Tom realized that, you know, he thought that he really wanted to lead more effectively. So he came to us, I really want to lead more effectively. Through coaching, we realized, though, that he was actually an order giver. He kept giving orders, so his company became what? A culture of order takers. They would just sit around and wait for the next order to be given. So he wanted to lead more effectively. He would know that he had that when he had 7 hours of strategic time per week, when he was no longer in the order-giving business. Order-giving business is problematic because it causes our people to not think for themselves. Now, Suzanne. Suzanne wanted to build a culture of performance and engagement, have people deeply connected and really caring. How would she know when she had that? When she had 90% of her team performing at their targets. For those of you who understand needle movers, they're just like goals. We want to make sure that our people understand how to, where the bar is, if you will. Okay, these are the three key things I have to achieve this quarter. So if we have 90% of our team achieving their targets, Suzanne will be happy. If we have 90% retention of our employees, Suzanne will be happy. All right, she'll know that you got that culture. So in a moment, we're going to go through and have you figure this out. Third, Carlos. Carlos wanted to propel and streamline sales and marketing. He would know that he was successful when his top-line revenue was increased by 60% and his bottom line by 37%. Let's look at the outcome frame. Three questions. First, what would you like? This is how we cause insights for our people. We can use this tool whenever anybody is in conflict or when we're just trying to get them to increase their level of leadership. Now, here's what's important with this question. It's got to be a positive outcome. It's got to be something that they can create and maintain. It's got to be a reasonable chunk. So if someone says, hey, I want world peace, that's not a reasonable chunk. That's really, really big. And you know what? It's a positive outcome. But you alone cannot create it and maintain it. So what would you like? What would you like? And if you're not sure what you would like, what do you not want to have any longer? And then do the opposite of that. So people often come to us in coaching and they say, well, I don't want to feel so overwhelmed and drained. You know, I'm sick of being overwhelmed, drained, and stressed. So what they want, right, is to be vital, energized, and excited about their work. So what would you like? What would you like? What will having that do for you? What benefits will you get? How will you feel? We use this tool to pull somebody from that critter state, from that amygdala hijack, into the outcome they want to create. People often look at the problem, they don't look at the outcome. Our job as leaders is to guide them into focusing on the outcome they want to create. Third, how will you know when you have it? So maybe we want, let's go back to the example of Tom, right? He wanted more strategic time. What would having that do for him? He'd feel more excited, more engaged, more enthusiastic about his company. He would feel like he wasn't getting mired in the stuff he didn't want to do. How will he know when he has it? When he's got those 7 hours a week to really work on cool strategic stuff. Now, here's the thing with the outcome frame that I love. Often we think we want the one thing, but we actually want something else. That's another reason to use the outcome frame, to get that clarity. Example. One of our YPO clients, we'll call him Taylor. He said that he wanted to quadruple the profit per employee each year, and he said that he wanted to stop the fighting within his teams. We did the outcome frame, and what we really realized, frankly, what he really wanted was to build up a company that he could sell in 5 years for $250 million. So often when we do a strategy session and we step through the outcome frame, we find that we actually want something different than we thought we wanted. All right, this is your first tool. This helps us get clarity on what we truly want, and it also helps us cause insights. This tool works. YPO member John Gorski at NAMSA. This tool helped him get very clear, his team get very clear on what they weren't doing, what they could be doing, and exactly what they need to do to get the results they want. And as he says, it's as if the lights went on. So this tool is incredibly powerful. Please try it. You will be blown away by the results. All right, what's next? Brain break. I want you to look at this for a second and consider the following. So this is an aerial view of the brain. You can see the little nose at the top here. Here's the nose right there. Okay. There are two ways of having insights. We either have them through the insula, which is feeling and intuition, or we have them through the prefrontal cortex, which is in the neocortex, which is where we have planning and thinking. When Einstein was asked how he created the theory of relativity, he said, first, I felt it. Then I saw it. And then I could actually speak it and articulate it. Often in Western cultures, we celebrate people who think and plan very quickly. But we find teams are more effective in having insights and strategizing when we combine two different types of processing. So take that person who's kind of intuition-y, something isn't right here, but I'm not quite sure what it is, and combine them, please, with a person who is very thinking, analytical. You will get much better insights, much better strategies, much better results. All right, second M, momentum. Our job here is to take all those great insights that we're creating using the outcome frame and to actually then step into ensuring that we execute, because otherwise we just have a bunch of insights and we don't have any results. Now, we want to foster focus. Here is one of our favorite neuroscience-based tools. Remember how we talked about a moment ago, no longer focusing on the problem, but focusing on the outcome we want to create. This, my friends, is where we have to look at the problem for just a second. When we do a high-value, low-value chart, it is very powerful for us to start realizing where our time and energy is going. Look at this example. So if you look at an average month in your life, in your work, what are the low-value activities that you are doing every month? The things that you know you shouldn't be doing, but you keep doing them. These are the things that we know we should ditch. Get off of our list. Delegate, give to somebody else. Defer. Make sure that we push those things off because they aren't going to move the needle. So if we fast forward, it's the last day of the year, we turn to the most important person in our life and we say, because these three achievements happened in work, these three achievements happened in my personal life, everything is amazing. I love it. I've had a great result this year. So we have to list, though, where our time is going that's getting in the way of that result. Low-value activities drain us, pull us into often the critter state of our brain. So this example, micromanaging, doing other people's work, mediating conflict within our team, filing expense reports. This executive is spending 45% of their time on low-value activities. High-value activities, the thing that this person really loves doing, energizes them, brings them into the best part of their brain, drives business results. Strategic planning, product development, cultivating leadership in people, forging external alliances, serving clients, driving revenue and profit. 55% of their time is spent on high value. What we want to get to is 70%. We want 70% or more on high value activities. You can make it a fun game. Please make sure everybody in your company, at least your top executives, are doing this on a regular basis and are removing those low-value activities because they probably are bright, shiny objects that are distracting them, or the problem there could be we have too many things that we're doing, we're diving in because we don't trust our people. So we either have to get new people or we have to train them up. All right, this tool helps us get tremendous amounts of focus, which keeps our energy high. Streamlining focus, delivering more effective communication, feeling more empowered, being more energized. the best part of what Dave is saying here. The leadership team is now collaborating and communicating better because they know what they're supposed to be doing. All right, now, this is my favorite thing that I'm going to talk to you about today. Matt Lieberman, Naomi Eisenberger, two of my favorite neuroscientists at UCLA, have discovered that we have two networks in our brain, the reward and the pain. Check out this slide. This is so fascinating. Remember what I said before about the brain. Remember how we need to cause insights. Remember how we need to foster focus and help people take that great insight and focus in and get those results. Here's what's happening if we are not causing focus, if we are not causing insight. We have people that are focused on the pain network. They are having that amygdala hijack. Look at the image, okay? Here's what's interesting. Remember the reptilian brain in gray? Remember the mammalian brain in green? Our people, when their activated pain network is happening, they have nothing happening in their smart state. Look, in the purple, we have no connections. Nothing is firing in our brain. Here are the key ways that we send people accidentally into their pain network. Social exclusion, okay, people feeling left out, lots of pain there. Being treated unfairly, transparency is so important. Those of you who have my book, Smart Tribes, Chapter 5, Accountability Structures, essential. So we want to make sure we're not having social exclusion, making sure that we're not treating people unfairly. Negative social comparison, also a problem. We want people to think of our company and to have good feelings. When we cause insights, when we help them focus, we light up their reward network. The reward network enables us to feel those good feelings and to have that experience of reward before we've actually achieved those goals. So we get this great experience that is prolonged. This is how we guarantee growth. Check out the reward network. Look, ventromedial prefrontal cortex, the little red dot right here that I'm circling. So we've got the good emotions happening. Okay, we've got the good emotional engagement, and also we have the clarity, the discrimination, the innovation. Ah, here's what I want you to focus on here. Having a good reputation, social proof, social rewards, status. People love that. It brings them into the reward network. They associate good feelings with your company. We want them to keep connecting those. Good feelings company, good feelings company. We get better performance as a result. Look. Being treated fairly. We want to have that transparency that I mentioned before. We want to have that accountability culture that I mentioned before. Cooperating, another way to help people get into the reward network. So here's the thing. We get people into the reward network. We help them have insights. We get them feeling truly empowered. Empowerment is one of those words a lot of people don't know what it means. It means causing insights, causing that intrinsic motivation, helping people move forward because they keep feeling good and connecting it to your company, and thus they keep you growing. Mattering, okay, our third M. Those of you who have had me at your chapters, you know how important safety, belonging, and mattering are. With mattering, the person feels that they are making a difference. We all are meaning-making machines. Human beings crave meaning. We keep looking for it everywhere in our life. We need to activate aspiration, help our people keep reaching for the next cool thing. We need to create celebration, boost their status, let them be seen and acknowledged. Why is social media so powerful? Brings people safety, belonging, and a lot of mattering. They feel seen. They feel heard. How do we do this? One of our tools that we love is called an individual development plan. Individual development plans mean that the person knows what their next two evolutions could be. Now, we say evolution as opposed to promotion because this is not a promise of a promotion. This is all about positive target fixation. Positive target fixation. This is how we keep people focused on what they want to achieve, pull them into that glorious future, light up their reward network. Here's how to do it. Two or more possible evolutions. So Sue is now a, director of sales. So she could evolve into, you know, VP of sales. She could expand her sales capacity in her current role. What or two or so possible evolutions for each person in your company? Start with your key executive team. Have them then do this with their folks on down the org chart. We want this to be 1 to 3 years from now. We want to know what skills you need to have to get into that new role or that new evolution. It could be up, it could be cross, it could be within. Sue could now expand her territory. She could add channel sales as well, what have you. Job skills needed, leadership skills needed. Now, some of our clients like to have leadership levels. Example, Google. Google has L1 to L10. L10 is a CEO, okay? The highest level of leadership, if you will. L1 is someone new to leadership. What's cool about having leadership levels is it makes leadership part of the conversation in your company. Everyone wants to strive and be a better leader, and it doesn't make leadership tied to their given role. Somebody might be in a certain role for many, many years because there isn't room above them on the org chart. That's okay. Help them aspire and grow as a deeper, deeper leader. They will still get that reward network lighting up. They will help your company grow more powerfully. So the timeline for acquiring these new skills, the plan, the budget, the leadership commitment, how we're going to get these skills and keep building them, the next steps, and the quarterly check-in. Here's the thing. IDPs, individual development plans, are incredibly powerful. They have to be driven by the individual. We need to factor them into whatever their review is, whether you do quarterly reviews or you do twice a year reviews, but we need to keep this conversation part of the one-on-ones and part of the here's how I'm evolving. That way we keep the reward network lit up. If we create individual development plans and we don't monitor them and support them, we will create cynicism and we will light up the pain network. So please do these and make sure that you follow through and you monitor them and you support them. All right, check this out. When we have employees deeply engaged, when they feel safe at the company, when they feel the sense of they're part of the tribe, and they see through their individual development plan that they are growing with the company, that they matter and they're part of the future, they become tremendously loyal. They live in the reward network, and they consistently help us grow. This is how we get that doubling of growth, which I know is really, really powerful and not always that easy to do if you don't have everybody pulling forward. All right, here's another tool. Rock stars, high fives, shout outs, whatever you like to call them. Here's what's interesting. Every year, all of the top HR firms, Mercer, Gallup, Merriman, Hewitt, they all do a poll to find out what truly motivates people. Is it money? Is it travel? Is it gifts? Is it treats? Here's the thing. Consistently, every year, we see the results are 70 to 73%, very little variation, 70 to 73% of employees worldwide want appreciation, and they want it publicly. Think back to the reward network, status. They want that experience of status. They want that experience of having a good reputation. Let's help them get it. That way they forge good reputation, good feelings with your company. All right, so we want to light up the reward network. Here's how to do high fives, shout outs, weekly wins, whatever you want to call them. Now, you can track these on your intranet. You can give people a vehicle to celebrate other people. So what we want to do is give people a way throughout their day to say, hey, high five to George because he really embodied accountability, one of our core values. He totally came through, you know, much earlier than planned with really high quality on this particular project. We get peers and coworkers acknowledging and appreciating each other. They can be acknowledging and appreciating somebody who goes above and beyond, somebody who models the core values of the company, somebody who pulled off a miracle. We set up a public way for these celebrations to occur, set them up digitally. We summarize them each week in an email maybe or on your intranet site where we say, hey, here's all the great stuff that happened this week. We celebrate the person who was acknowledged, and we celebrate the person who did the acknowledging. When we help others, when we bring status and good feelings to others, our reward network lights up too. So we want everybody's reward network lighting up. High fives is a great way to do it. Shout outs is a great way to do it. Now, some of our clients simply use a Google spreadsheet. And people can just go up there very quickly and just type in and acknowledge. We want to make it really, really easy. Don't make it a big fancy thing. A lot of our clients use SharePoint in their internal intranet site, and they set up a section where you can add somebody to a high five, a rock star, etc. Rock stars are like employees of the month, but they are selected by coworkers. Often employee of the month, when management selects it, it can trigger the pain network. It can trigger unfairness. It can be problematic because the person, often there's cynicism that comes up. Maybe the person who got that is really just the flatterer of the month, you know, the brown noser of the month. So we like to have coworkers nominate who should be the rock star of the month because, again, just like with high fives and shout outs, because they are modeling the company values, they are helping other people, they are going way above and beyond the call of duty. Cool ways to celebrate people. All right, great. Let's talk about the results of this cool, cool neuro tool. 33%. We find 33% to 42%, 33 to 42% of all of our clients, when they implement tools like this, they get 33 to 42% of the entire company rising up, asking for greater levels of leadership, asking for more responsibility, not asking for more pay. But you know what happens. They do a great job, and 6 months later, they do get a promotion. They do get more pay. But they were inspired. They wanted those insights, and they came to us saying, hey, I want to raise the bar on my accountability, on my influence, on my focus, on my clarity. All right, cool. Let's now talk about the fourth tool, the fourth M, if you will, mentor. As we are going through, as we are building this great company, as we are focusing on getting people in and keeping them in their smart state, as we are looking really carefully at the reward network and the pain network, and we're saying, what in my culture is causing people's pain network to light up? That stuff's got to go. What in my culture is causing the reward network to light up? And what more can I add, like the three M's I just went over previously, that will help light up the reward network? More lighting up of the reward network, more growth. We've all heard that awful statistic, which is human beings only use 5% of their brain. This is how we use more of our brain. This is how we get people 35 to 50% more productive in 6 months or less. Okay, good. Now, we're going to review the tools in a second, and we're going to go into Q&A in a couple of minutes. So please start pondering what questions do you want to ask so that you can apply these tools powerfully so you can get that guaranteed growth. After this webinar, you will have access to these slides. Remember, I think it's slide number 4, that big chart that showed you all the people things, all the money things, all the model things that needed to be done. That's a to-do list. You do those things, you get to and through the next revenue inflection point. Overlay the four M's I've gone through with you today, and you will guarantee growth. All right, cool. We've used these techniques with over 150 companies. They have gotten through each of the successive revenue inflection points to a glorious IPO or sale of their company, or a company that performs at very high levels that the owners love operating. Now, mentor, this is the last M we want to add in. So we need to bring in a mentor if we are going a place that we've never gone before, right? Someone to help us look into our blind spots, expand our vision, shift whatever challenging behaviors and beliefs we have, frankly, that get in the way of getting the results we want. We want proven structures. I shared some proven structures with you on this webinar so far. There are many, many more. All of these proven structures help us go back to navigating those revenue inflection points in a formulaic way. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. Many companies have been there before us. All right. Now, when we use these tools, here's what happens. Like with Sharon, we take what used to be an average 5-digit sale, we move it to an average 6-digit sale, and now Sharon, about a year and a half later, has an average sale of 7 digits. We apply these tools. See, you can be an amazing leader and an amazing performer. What happens when everybody else in your company is too? Beautiful leverage. All right, let's talk about the take-home value, and let's talk about the tools, and we're going to go into questions in a moment. We want to get our brain in and keep our brain in our smart state focused on reward. So we do this for ourselves. We do this for our people. The tools we want to use to do this, first, we want to inspire insights, cause our people to have those aha moments to, as John from NAMSA said, to turn the lights on. When people do that, they are so emotionally engaged. They are so empowered. You know they're going to take that beautiful insight and they're going to make sure that it is executed very powerfully. So use the outcome frame. What would you like? What will having that do for you? How will you know when you have it? Now, we're putting together our annual Thanksgiving gift, and it's going to be the extended outcome frame, and it's going to be a video, so I will guide you through it. So jot this down, and this link will be active in 1 week. But if you're a member of our tribe, you'll get this link anyway. ChristineComeAfford.com/vision. Okay? All right. We use the outcome frame. If people don't know what they want, we use the outcome frame to find out how they want to feel. Okay? How would you like to feel? What would having that do for you? How will you know when you have that? You're still going to get a great result. Fostering focus. We first have to look at what are our low-value activities? What are our high-value activities? What percentage, honestly, of our time is going to low? Scooch that amount down. Increase the high value. We find you can very easily, in 90 days, across all of our years of executive coaching, we've been able to shift very profoundly from low to high in a 90-day period of time. Don't make it more mysterious than it is. Have your people do it as well, because then we start to realize why we aren't reaching the growth outcomes that we want. We have too many people doing low-value activities. Let's ditch. Let's delegate. Let's defer some of those things. One of our YPO clients had 4 executives obsessing about a system conversion they wanted to do. But yet this system was running $40 million worth of transactions through it each year. No transactions were being dropped. It wasn't broken. It was just an archaic technology. But seriously, no bad thing was going to happen if we deferred it. So we deferred that decision. We took that out of everybody's background processing. People were not allowed to obsess about it. We deferred the decision for 9 months. Now, 9 months later, that system is being built. Guess what we did in that 9-month interim? We doubled the bottom line. We added 3 new products, right? All that energy that was going to a low-value activity now got focused on growth. All right, activating aspiration. Individual development plans, a great way to get people to see their glorious future, start to live in it, stay in the reward network. Creating celebrations, giving people status, helping people feel good, forging the connection between performance and feeling good, company and feeling good. We need to forge those neural pathways in the brains of our people. We do this through coaching. We do this through training. It doesn't take long. We build up those cultural structures so people can actually implement them and have that good experience. All right, we are going to take some questions. Melissa, if you could please pop on the line and tell us what we need to do to get the Q&A rolling.
To ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. That is star 1 to ask a question.
All right, while we're waiting for the questions to pop up, let me say one more thing. Our understanding of the human brain has skyrocketed in the past 2 years. every year I go to a neuroscience symposium. I hang out with all the top neuroscientists, and each year it gets better and better and better. And we take these techniques that we learn from the neuroscientists in the labs. We are the translators. That's what my company does. We translate them down to actual, what exactly do we do in the business to cause amazing performance. Not all the stuff from the labs is interesting, frankly, or can be translated to business results. So neuroscience has created the opportunity for us to use the understanding of the brain to drive powerful business results, deep emotional engagement, and all the programs in the neuroscience field, really, you can do anything from a couple of hours to 6 months of coaching. It doesn't matter. Make this easy. Do the baby steps, okay? Use just even one of these tools to get started, see the gorgeous results, and start to ramp it up from there. The goal is to build a smart tribe. The goal is to get as many people in their smart state with their reward network activating as possible. So, what questions do we have? What questions do we have? You can either type them into the chat box or you can hit the star one to be unmuted. After this call, what are you going to do? What tool are you going to start to immediately apply as soon as this call is over? Are you going to use the outcome frame to cause your people to have insights? Are you going to help people really focus in and maximize their performance by using the low-value, high-value activities? Are you going to, maybe you already have those two things happening, are you going to really build great feelings of engagement, great feelings of aspiration, helping people want to grow to that next level by providing those individual development plans? Are you going to be celebrating people powerfully and helping people celebrate others powerfully by using rock star, high fives, shout outs? It's a beautiful thing. All right, cool. So let's see. Any other things I should be talking about? Which M has the greatest leverage for you? Which M has the greatest leverage for you? Is it motivation? Is it helping people get those insights? Is it momentum, helping people move forward powerfully and quickly? Is it mattering? Is it getting the help that you've always thought that you wanted to get and you haven't got it yet? Is it getting a mentor? Here are two ways you can take next steps in very easy ways. First, you can go to christinecomefort.com/join. We will then send you monthly neuroscience resources. Use them yourself. That's the do-it-yourself model. Knock yourself out. The tools are really cool there. We'll also, as I mentioned, be sending out in a week or so the vision process, which is the extended outcome frame, which I will walk you through via video, which you can share with your people. Really great tools. If you want more help, go ahead and for a strategy session, go to coachmechristine.com. All right, cool. So if we don't have any questions, I'm going to give you a couple more tips, and then we're going to wrap it up. Amanda, let me know if we have anything coming in that I need to know about. All right, here's the thing. Our business is a reflection of us. UCLA, Carnegie Mellon have proven this. 50 to 70% of the entire emotional state of your company is modeled off of you. This is the power of mirror neurons. Think about a movie. Think about a movie where you really felt connected to the hero. They went through hard times, you felt badly. They got the girl at the end of the movie, and everyone was, you know, excited and happy and feeling proud. They went through trauma, and everybody is crying. We are social creatures. We will model off of who we are observing. Your people are modeling off of you. It is so important for you to manage your emotional state and project the emotional state that you want them to have. Okay, good. Here are some questions, and here we go. Okay. All right. Matt, thank you. My company is growing, but I don't believe my employee engagement is as strong as it needs to be. As a CEO, I seem to be one of the only people that gets really excited. Wait just a sec. Gets really excited about some of the big and new opportunities we have. Okay, Matt, there are two things we need to do. First, I don't know, Matt, at your company, who is your VP of talent, human capital. A lot of our clients don't call it human resources anymore. They call it VP talent. They call it VP human capital, whatever. Here's the thing. Human resources traditionally has been about administration, you know, and has been about recruiting, right? So let's make sure everybody gets their benefits, and let's make sure that we recruit effectively. Then it's been really lightly about developing our people. Developing our people is now the most important thing. That's how we get the retention. That's how we get the performance. That's how we get the emotional engagement. Here's what I urge you to do, Matt. Find somebody in your company. Sometimes it's even somebody quite junior who is great at helping you lay out the cultural rituals. If you have a copy of Smart Tribes, between Chapter 11 and 14, we lay out a bunch of different cultural rituals. Figure out which ones make sense for you. I went over one of them today, excuse me, two of them, the rock stars and the high fives, ways we can celebrate people. Let's get that junior person to take your vision for engagement, work with your executive coach to sketch out a plan, and roll it out. Here is what I will do for you, Matt. If you email me, everybody, this is my secret email, so don't give this out to people beyond YPO, cc@christinecomeafford.com, my initials, cc@christinecomeafford.com. What we're doing for one of our YPO clients, I'm doing it this Friday, is I'm laying out an HR framework that is just simply a framework. It's an outline for how to have a rich human capital department, because he needs one too. It will be generic. We will share it with all of our clients. I'm very happy to share it with you too. So we need to put somebody in charge of these. We need to figure out just the first few cultural rituals, and we'll start rolling out those cultural rituals, and we'll roll them out over a period of time, just a couple every quarter, get everybody excited about them. You will start to see the engagement rise. But I need to ask you that last question in the outcome frame. How will you know when you have an engaged culture? Tell me what that answer is, and I'll tell you the exact strategy, okay? I need to know if it's a certain NPS score, a certain employee satisfaction score. We always coach on the result we want to get. Tell me the result. I'll tell you the recipe. All right, good. Thank you, Matt. Okay, let me scroll down to the next question. All right, my team seems kind of burned out. All right, my team seems kind of burned out. Well, I want more growth. Any tips on where to start? Yes. You, my friend, are having a sustainability challenge. Burnout comes from a couple of things. Burnout also, I betcha you've got a lot of people that are in their critter state, because when we feel burned out, we pretty much shut down and we get on basic survival mode, okay? What are the basics I have to do to get by? We start running very powerful safety programs because we're trying to not implode, okay? So with burnout, the most important thing we need to do is we need to sit down, please do the high-value, low-value activities. We've got to figure out why people are burned out, okay? Please, if you have a copy of Smart Tribes, we've given out, I don't know, over 2,000 copies to the different YPO chapters we visited and at GLC. In Smart Tribes, in the sustainability chapter, which is Chapter 8, look at Chapter 8 in Smart Tribes, look at Chapter 9 in Smart Tribes. If you want a strategy session, go ahead, go to coachmechristine.com and request one. Here's the thing. What we need to do with burnout is first get people doing less, because we probably have a culture where everything is urgent. Do we have a culture where everything is urgent? If that's the case, you are setting yourself up for burnout. So we're going to do less. You're going to read Chapter 5 as well about needle movers, accountability. We're going to look at the three things the company needs to do this year. Then everybody's going to lay out the three things their department or division needs to do, the three things their team needs to do, the three things the individual needs to do. We don't need to do more. I keep finding in the companies that we work with that grow the fastest, we do less. We do less that's higher impact. We have to have passion, play, and release in our culture. Passion, play, and release. Otherwise, we get burnout. Otherwise, we get low levels of engagement. Okay? You can also feel free. I don't have your name. You can also feel free to email me, and I will send you that HR framework. All right. Brandon, Christine, I have an issue with the senior leader in my company not being self-aware. This never happens, right? All the time. Developing him has been my most difficult project any advice. Thanks for your time today. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you for being here. Here's what I want to do. The best thing with low self-awareness, with those blind spots, is a 360. Brandon, if you email me, cc@christinecomefort.com, I will send you a sample 360 report. These are the areas. Take whatever you disagree with out. Add whatever you think is missing in. But these are the areas that we find leaders must have awareness in. When you do a 360 and you have 7 to 9, you've got to have 7 to 9. It's okay to have a smidge more. You can't have fewer. You've got to have 7 to 9 peers. In the group, we have to have some peers. We have to have some direct reports, and we have to have some supervisors or superiors, if you will. They look at this person, they rate this person in these key areas of leadership. This person then sees that their blind spots are out there. Then you have to have a coach. It's not fair to do a 360 without a coach attached to it, you know? Because otherwise it's like you're going to see all your blind spots, but we're not going to help you get better. That activates the pain network. Don't, okay? So say to this person, hey, I want to do a 360 with you. Here's what we want to learn. I believe in you as a leader. Hopefully you'll be doing 360s for other people so this person won't feel singled out. I want to get you some coaching so you can grow through and become the greatest leader possible. Let's find out what your blind spots are. Let's find out what your greatest potential is, and let's then attach 6 months of coaching, you know, after the 360 to help you shift. Works great. Frame it in a positive way. I'll be happy to give you the verbiage that we use with our clients so that it's positive, and we help the person get status. Because if the person is positioned as a bad guy and we're doing the 360 to help them get fixed, it's not going to work. So we use it in a positive frame, growing leadership. You know, thank you so much for participating in this 360 and helping person X grow as a leader. You know, we so appreciate your input. All right. Good. Cool. Okay, we've got a couple more minutes. Any more questions? Any more questions? We want passionate teams. We want profitable growth. We want predictable revenue. We will be, if you guys follow my work on Forbes, you will get all sorts of cool sales techniques there as well. Now, and company growth techniques. The most important thing is look at your people. Who do you need to cultivate most powerfully? Do you need to go up, down, across the org chart? We find at our YPO clients, we do a little bit of training, seriously, 90 minutes for the bottom of the org chart. Sorry, I don't know a better way to say it. The bottom of the org chart helps them get powerfully emotionally engaged. Then we help the next level of people get a little bit more. Then, frankly, you do invest the most higher up in the org chart. Our most successful clients do 24 hours of learning per year. That means everybody in the company is part of book clubs. Those count. They take webinars. They listen to podcasts, and then they demonstrate how they've learned those techniques. We love doing leadership pods. Leadership pods is a really cool thing that we love doing. And if you're part of our tribe, if you've gone to christinecomefort.com/join, you'll have this already. But we will figure out a way to get it to, you know what, whoever joins just during this call, we'll just send you all these resources. That might be easier. When you set up leadership groups, 6 people per is great. A lot of our clients call them leadership lunch. It's a brown bag lunch. You figure out what works for your culture. I'm going to make a note to make sure that I send it to Amanda. What is terrific about this is that people meet once or twice a month. They talk about their leadership challenges in their cross-functional. It can't be people who always work together. Cross-functional is important. They talk about their leadership challenges. It's a confidential zone, okay? It's like a little baby forum. And they talk about their leadership challenges, and they talk about what each person's tools are that they're using to improve and to move through these leadership challenges. The easiest way to do it, which a lot of our clients, we've got 43,000 of these happening right now. People take Smart Tribes. First meeting is chapter number 1. Make it easy. Second meeting is chapter number 2. Here's what I learned. Here's what I'm applying. Here's where I'm stuck or stressed. Everybody's helping each other out. Then, when you're done with that, use another book that you like. You know, chapter one, let's meet about that. Each time, there are six people in the group, each time a different person facilitates. That way, each person, that way there's no, like, leader, you know, that they shift leadership. It's a shared leadership. It's a great way to do peer coaching. It's virtually free. Everyone's bringing their own food. It's a very cool thing, and it really fosters cross-functional team development. All right, Wu, Amanda, Rolando, I think we should wrap up. What do you guys think? Any last question?
Yep, I have a question. I don't know if you can hear me, Christine.
Yes, I can.
Thank you. I've seen all universities deploying very large departments, new departments of neuroscience, all across the world, which I'm glad to see, because as you well said, our understanding of how the brain functions has many applicabilities, many applications. On business and leadership, where do you see universities aligning themselves into their business programs? Do you see them creating new curriculums based on neuroscience, or what's your vision with that?
Okay, good. Thank you so much. All right, so Rolando, here's what we see happening. We see the universities are doing kind of two separate things. They are now offering programs in neuroscience, and they're either the physiological programs, you know, understanding how the brain works and, you know, more kind of on the medical/research track, or they're going more in the behavioral track, which is what we do. You know, we love the behavioral stuff because it's tangible, measurable, and specific. The behavioral tracks right now, for my taste, are a little bit too therapeutic, psychologist, you know, shrink-oriented, psychiatrist shrink-oriented. We are encouraging them to gradually merge in some of the learnings from the behavioral neuroscience track into the MBA programs, because how cool would that be, right? How cool would it be for our next generation of leaders to walk into the workplace with their MBA in hand and a good understanding of neuroscience? So we're gradually getting there. We're finally now at the university level getting enough funding, frankly, to do the, thanks to all the things that have happened this year, we're now getting enough funding to actually have the possibilities to expand beyond medical and physiological. So we're seeing good signs. We're not there yet, but my dream is to really have kind of all this stuff integrated directly into the MBA programs. I would love seeing that.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, Wu, I think we should scooch. Thank you so much, you guys. I think what I'm going to do, and Amanda and I will powwow offline, but, I forgot. We've got a resources page already, silly me. Go to Christine Comeford. I know I'm giving you a lot of links. ChristineComeford.com/YPO. You can get some good stuff there, too. Yes. So there's some cool stuff on the /YPO page at ChristineComeford.com. That's just a self-serve. If you want us to send you resources every month, you have to join our tribe, okay? ChristineComeford.com/join. And then if you want to talk offline privately, coachmechristine.com. Thank you so much for your time today, guys. I hope you'll use these tools. I hope you'll see how powerful they are. I hope you'll really print out two slides. Print out that inflection point chart and look at all you need to do to get to and through the next revenue inflection point. And then print out that reward and pain network chart. And look at the both and look at how aligned they are. And look at how here's the outer stuff we do, and here's the inner stuff that results. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been a great, great honor to work with you.
Thank you so much, Christine. Thank you for allowing your time and an effort to share all this great knowledge about neuroscience and leadership with the YP viewers. Thank you, everyone else, for joining during this call. And as Christine said, any additional inquiries and information, you can just go to the link she provided. So thanks so much, everyone, and looking forward to keep in touch. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines.